Lovely listeners, welcome back to Nostalgia. I'm your host, Nassim, and friends, before anything, I have a favor to ask you. Over the last few months, I've heard so many cool stories from people who have found nostalgia. They're people that I don't even know, obviously. It's like friends of friends or different comments I've received. And I love hearing the stories. One in particular that stands out to me is my friend telling me that her friend that was stuck in a snowstorm, very stressed out, obviously, rightfully so, put on nostalgia and just had such a sense of peace and joy while they were trying to figure out how to drive through a snowstorm while listening to an episode. And that made me so happy. So I would just love to know, if we've never met, but you found nostalgia and you're listening right now, will you do me a favor? Will you pause this right now for a second? Or hey, if you're on your phone, just multitask, right? If you're not driving or something, send me a DM on Instagram. My handle is at Nassim K. I would just love to hear what you love most about nostalgia, or just to get to meet virtually other people who love this podcast, especially the people that I have no idea who they are. So I would love to get to know you. Alrighty, now on to this month's Nostalgia episode. Friends, we are talking about Cruella. We are talking about this live action remake, this origin story that just came out. Oh my goodness, I absolutely loved it. I can't even, you know, I have to just jump right to it and say that I loved it. You know, I love Disney, and especially the Renaissance era of Disney movies before Pixar, you know, just straight up just the 90s classics. I've talked about this before. A live action remake can be very promising, and it can either over deliver or under deliver. And I personally thought that Cruella was excellent. It did a great job. I think I would probably rate it a solid 4 out of 5 stars. It was really, really good. If you listen to my episode about Mulan and the remake, I'm singing a very different tune than that review, because that one I did not enjoy whatsoever. But first things first, I want to start off with the fact that a remake is difficult, because most of the live action remakes that have come out in the last several years have been almost like a frame by frame identical version of the cartoon, which I'll be honest, some of them, like Lion King, I loved. You know, I wanted that. I just wanted a frame by frame remake. And then, yeah, there's some like Mulan where there's a lot of different creative liberties taken and you're like, oh, this is not what I remember. This is different. But you know, what I loved most about Cruella was that it's just a straight up good origin story, right? It's kind of like Maleficent. You find out how Cruella became Cruella. And listeners, if you have heard my Halloween special from last October, it was the Disney Villains Ranked episode, you'll know that I have a soft spot for Captain Hook. And something that I've always wanted to do is kind of create like a children's story or like a preteen book about the origin story of Captain Hook, because I just think he's so misunderstood. All to say, I'm just all about a good origin story, especially with villains, because they're so hard to empathize with, right? So I want to just start off right off the bat. If you have not watched Cruella yet, this podcast episode will have spoilers. So just a heads up, now that we've gotten the disclaimer out there. So this movie is not for kids. I mean, I thought it was like rated PG. I found out later it was PG-13, like rightfully so. But wow, yeah, it is not for children. I was shocked with just how tragic it is right off the bat. And of course, I mean, it wouldn't be a Disney movie if it wasn't, you know, a parent that dies right in the first 10 minutes. But man, I mean, yeah, you just see Dalmatians attack her mom and throw her off of a cliff and kill her mom. It's like really tragic and sudden. I was not expecting that whatsoever. So I literally like audibly gasped when I watched this movie, because I was like, what? Like within the first 10 minutes, the mom is killed by Dalmatian dogs, which kind of starts to make sense. Like, you know, why there's this fascination, or albeit trauma, with Dalmatian dogs and Cruella, but we'll get to that later. But wow, it's really, really sad. And so I like the fact that you see this relatively normal girl who kind of has this alter ego. And I thought that was a really cool way of framing it, was like, she knows when Cruella comes out, that is just straight up her alter ego. It kind of reminded me of the Joker a little bit, in this like, you know, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde kind of vibe of like, will Cruella come out? Should I just be myself? And just very tastefully done. Man, oh man, Emma Stone. Guys, Emma Stone. I'm going to be honest about Emma Stone. So, you know, she's a relatively newer actress. She is exactly my age, actually. Her first big role was Easy A, which was 2010. So she's only been around for about a decade. And, you know, when Easy A came out, yes, it's a classic. It's awesome. But also it was like, okay, you know, she's like another, you know, teen star. She came out around the same time as Jennifer Lawrence. And I remember feeling like Jennifer Lawrence was very overhyped. So I was always kind of like, is Emma Stone the same way? Like, is she getting too much hype for no reason kind of thing? But wow, okay, when I watched her in Gangster Squad with Ryan Gosling, which was literally the start of her, I mean, case in point, guys, she's able to work with Ryan Gosling on multiple movies. Like, homegirl has something going on. Like, she's an amazing actress. And then, of course, La La Land. I mean, La La Land is one of my favorite movies of all time. But gosh, her singing, her dancing, she's just a performer. She's a performer, and she can hold her own. So I was just so impressed with her performance. Funny enough, I heard that Anne Hathaway was going to maybe be cast for this role. And I'm like, oh, dear God, no, like, please, no. I'm not an Anne Hathaway fan at all. I don't know. I just love that Emma Stone was cast in this movie. In addition to that, we have the queen, the great Emma Thompson, who plays the Baroness. Wow, she was phenomenal as well. When you start watching the movie, you kind of get a little bit of Devil Wears Prada vibe. And I don't mean kind, I mean like a lot. And so Emma Thompson reminded me a lot of Meryl Streep's character in Devil Wears Prada. That's kind of the general like story they're going for. She's this amazing fashion designer. You know, Emma Stone starts working for her and so on and so forth. I don't know about you guys, but I remember when I was a kid watching the live action, the first live action Cruella de Vil, the 101 Dalmatians. It came out in 1996 and Glenn Close plays Cruella. Oh my gosh. Like, I mean, I don't think anyone can compare to her. And she plays obviously the adult version of Cruella. Glenn Close is an icon. She's just, you know, Oscar winner. She's amazing. Funny enough, she serves as the executive producer of this movie, which I really, really loved. I thought that honored her really well. To this day, I still get chills watching her in the original role because she is so good at playing just plain evil. She's such a great actress. Do you guys remember these scenes?
Take the drawing from Anita and hand it to me. Is that difficult?
Now go, stand somewhere till I need you.
It is rather amusing, isn't it?
What is?
Well, if we make this coat, it would be as if I were wearing your dog. Woof, woof.
I can just give you kind of like a little bit of a synopsis. After her mom dies, Estella meets Horace and Jasper. They kind of become this trio of best friends and they just become, you know, they pickpocketers. They do a little bit of like forgery and whatnot. But at the end of the day, Estella is just an artist. Like she's just so good at fashion and she gets her big break working at this department store where she's like the janitor, like, you know, cleaning and all this stuff. And she, you know, she meets the Baroness because the Baroness owns the department store that, you know, she works at. And upon, you know, meeting the Baroness wants to hire her. She gets hired and then so begins. I don't want to spoil it too much, even though I've given a lot of spoilers already, but I just want you guys to watch it. But it was just so well done because I think what I love most in a movie is the writing and the character development. And you really believe why and how this girl becomes a villain, right? Like why she becomes evil. And you find out that the Baroness actually is the one that killed her mom. And like, she's literally the one that like let the dogs loose to kill her mom, which is crazy. And so that fuels her obviously. And so this begins this whole tirade of like, let's just like overthrow her. She basically just one-ups the Baroness every single time at every speaking engagement, you know, at every fashion event, you know, like equivalent of like New York Fashion Week. So that part's really cool. And then we get to like the third act and there's this huge reveal where, and I'm so big on like a crazy reveal in the middle of a movie or like towards the end. You find out towards the end, the Baroness is actually her birth mom. Insane. The Baroness is actually Cruella's birth mother. And basically her adoptive mom was just the hired help. She was like the maid that was working for the Baroness. And, you know, Baroness never wanted to have kids. She didn't want to get pregnant. So she was like pissed off the entire time that she was pregnant. They give Cruella or Estella to this adopted mom. Just a wild reveal. I was not expecting that whatsoever. So you're like, okay, kind of like a Star Wars vibe. Like, oh, Luke, like I am your father kind of thing. But, I think so. All together, I mentioned I love the movie. I do think if I were to give it just like my criticism now, a few things. One, there was definitely too much action. So the movie is like 2 hours and 15 minutes. It's kind of long. I think they could have cut a little bit of the action to make it a little shorter. And just for my taste, I did think it was just a lot of back and forth action that was like, okay, it's getting kind of boring now. Something about me is I get bored during action movies. I really do. I know that sounds weird, but I need to follow some dialogue. I need motivation. You know, I need the communication. I can't just be watching like a fight sequence. So a little bit of too much action. And then also like with that crazy reveal, it was slightly unbelievable. I don't know, witnessing the Baroness being her mom and like having zero care for her was just kind of unbelievable. It's one thing to just be like, I don't want my child. It's another thing to say like, let me light the house on fire and leave you inside to burn. Homie needs therapy. So it was a bit intense. Also, just a subtle thing that I caught. I don't know if anyone else caught this. Man, there was some sexual tension between Jasper and Cruella. Like, I was actually really hoping that they would get together. He was so sweet. Joel Fry is the actor. I had never heard of him before. Oh my gosh, he's so cute, so good looking. And throughout, you see so much homage paid to the cartoon. We have Anita Darling, we have Roger, we have Horace and Jasper. Can I just say the diversity of this cast? Huge fan. They really showed up. There was so much diversity in this cast. I was really proud. And, you know, just some other really subtle references that are beautifully painted into the film that I loved are in the beginning, there's a segment where Cruella's getting in trouble at school. And, you know, she keeps getting sent to the principal's office and her permanent record, you know, is being blotted, right? And so we hear that, right? Like, you have a stain on your permanent record. But the way that they even show the principal kind of doing the quote unquote stains on the record are little like ink blots, and they look like Dalmatian spots. So it's like the paper is covered in spots at the end. And that was just so beautifully woven in there. I was like, that is just like, you know, an intentional little detail left in there that's just artistic. And then if you stick around to watch the mid-credit scene, you find out that one of the Dalmatians that they named Genghis, please the name, but they find out it's actually a girl and she's pregnant. So in this mid-end credit scene, Genghis has puppies, and the puppies are Pongo and Perdita. And Cruella actually gifts them to Roger and Anita Darling. And so in a way, what I loved most about this movie is it's kind of a prequel to 101 Dalmatians. And, you know, whether you're talking about the animated version or the live action, because again, remember the 96 live action is Cruella when she's like 30, 40 years old. So you actually get to see Anita and Roger getting together, and you get to see Pongo and Perdita becoming their pets, which is really cool. So if I were you guys, I would actually go and watch the Glenn Close live action version after you watch Cruella, because it's a perfect segue and a jump to that. Something that I just really loved too was the fact that Cruella is like family with Horace and Jasper. You know, in the animated version and the live action, the originals, she acts like they're just like, you know, her minions. They're just working for her. They're like these dumb idiots that she bosses around. But in this one, there's just such a beautiful sense of like, they're her only family. They're like her brothers and they're there for her and they'll do anything for her. And in the end, she kind of realizes, hey, I can't be this like evil wench to them. You know, they're my only family. So I also love that there was this sense of like her coming back to her senses, her realizing that she can't just be this evil dictator. She has to remember who she is, you know, and why she's doing the things that she does. You leave the movie feeling, okay, she's not completely evil, and it makes sense why she did what she did. Now, that doesn't justify any of the things that she does in later in life, like, you know, basically wanting to kill 101 puppies. No, like absolutely not. But as a prequel, if I'm just looking at that segment itself, I'm like, okay, I understand you. But all in all, I just think Disney does a really good job of going back to retell a story. Thought that with Maleficent, you know, I think that with Cruella. I love that the fact that her name is actually not even Cruella to begin with. You know, her real name is Estella. And it's so cool, like the nods to the cartoon as well, because towards the end of the movie, you see a car coming to pick them up and it's like an old school DeVille, right? D-E space V-I-L, that's the name of the car. I think it's Horace or maybe it's Jasper. One of them say, oh, they sent a devil to pick us up. Another one's like, oh, you idiot, it's called a DeVille. And she's like, oh, I love the sound of that. And so it's even this like playful nod to like, that's how she makes up the name, you know, like Cruella's her alter ego. And then DeVille just becomes the last name. So then she becomes Cruella DeVille. finally, just some closing remarks of why I love this film too, is I found out later that the director of the movie, Craig Gispelli, I hope I'm saying that right, he's also the director of I, Tonya and Lars and the Real Girl, two movies that I really, really love. I remember when I, Tonya came out in 2017, I was floored at just how well the story was told, the set design, kind of the continuity of just how it's filmed and breaking the fourth wall and them talking to the camera at certain points. The movie just blew me away. I think I saw I, Tonya 3 times in theaters. It was just one of those movies that I'm like, this is great. And of course, just Tonya Harding's story is wonderful. And Lars and the Real Girl back in 2007, that was, I think, the first movie I ever watched with Ryan Gosling. And I was so invested into it. It was such a good movie and just so different. So seeing that he is the one that directed this movie, I'm like, okay, makes sense. That's why I love it. He just has an artistic way about him. And finally, the fact that they chose to film this in London in the 70s, you really get a sense of the kind of, you know, punk rock 70s culture in the time. Just with the fashion, with the angst, like, oh my gosh, when you're looking at even what Cruella's wearing when she's a teen, you're like, that's in style now. Like, I would wear that. I would wear those Doc Martens and that lacy top, you know, kind of like a very Madonna, like a virgin vibe. Leather, you know, lots of like just lush jewelry pieces. Oh my gosh. So if you're into fashion, you would also just love this film, but it's very grungy and yet also has this kind of an elegant caliber to it as well. Like both tied together, which I thought was just so beautifully done. I mentioned it being filmed in the 70s in London. Man, oh man, do they do it justice with the musical liberties taken, guys. I was dancing in my car listening to this movie because I watched it at the drive-ins, which was, by the way, so fun. But holy moly, we got the Bee Gees, we got the Doors, we got Nina Simone, Tina Turner, Electric Light Orchestra, my favorite. We got Blondie, we got The Clash, Queen. This was such a good soundtrack. Oh my gosh, every song back to back to back, I was like, holy moly, this is really, really, really just on another level. I'm sure it was really expensive to, you know, sample all these songs. And I love that they spent budget on music. You can tell. And of course, finally, like the theme song is Call Me Cruella by Florence and the Machine. And that was beautiful as well. I love that they asked Florence to do it. What an honor, right? This soundtrack is going to make you want to dance. Like, you will literally feel yourself as you're dancing with Cruella to Electric Light Orchestra as she's just like strutting on the scene. So good. So all in all, I'm giving this movie a 4 out of 5. I absolutely loved it. I hope I've convinced you to watch it. I think the reason I'm so ecstatic about it is it takes a lot to impress me with these Disney remakes because they're such high caliber cartoons to kind of try to recreate. And it is easier when it's an origin story. But all in all, they impressed me. I really like this movie. So there's that. That's my review of Cruella. Go watch it. And if you enjoyed this episode, I would love if you shared it on your social media, if you go and subscribe on Apple Podcasts and leave me a review. And if you do send me a DM, I would love to know which Disney movie would you want to see an origin story for? Who's a villain that you love that you're like, I'm curious how they became evil? Thank you for tuning into Nostalgia. I'll be back next month with a fresh episode from the vault to take you back to your childhood and the best era of all time. Thanks for listening.